back on Newstalk 94.1. Hour number three of the Morning Rush Hour is on the air. Well, we always promise you here on the Morning Rush Hour that we will bring interesting guests. We'll bring people to you that perhaps may have a different view on things or may have something that would be considered totally radical. I want to welcome our guest this morning, Ronald Wineland, on the broadcast, pastor in the Church of God. And Ronald, I have to be honest with you up front. I'm a little skeptical, and I'm sure you get that from a lot of people. But you say that God contacted you in 1997 and laid out the plans, what was going to happen for the apocalypse, and gave you specifics as well. I'm sure you run into a lot of skeptical people.
Oh, absolutely. And it's happened primarily over the last 7 to 8 years. God's been revealing more and more in the book of Revelation and other prophecies as well in the Old Testament. Yes.
Now, when you say God is revealing these things to you, what exactly is he revealing? In other words, where are we in the plan? And according to you, or I guess according to God through you, as you've said, where are we on the road to apocalypse?
Well, that which is referred to as the end time in the Bible, the Great Tribulation, those things that a lot of different groups through time have looked at, focused upon, Armageddon and so forth, it's true, it's coming. People just haven't understood a lot of the prophecies, but we are approaching that time here in the year 2008 where this country is going to be one of the first to fall. And it's going to last for 3.5 years before God intervenes and stops it. He's going to stop man from annihilating himself.
Chatting with Ronald Wineland, pastor in the Church of God, and also you believe you're a prophet, right? I mean, just to make sure I get it right, you believe the Lord spoke to you, you are a prophet, right?
Correct. It's through the Holy Spirit. It's not audible voices and things like that that sometimes people say they hear. It's how God's always spoken to his prophets through the Holy Spirit.
Why 2008?
Because it's a part of God's plan. It's a part of God's timing. God, if time were to go on, we would have a world war that would destroy all of mankind. But God's not going to allow that to happen. He gave mankind 7,000 years, 6,000 years of his own self-rule to rule himself. And then God's going to intervene and bring a millennium. Jesus Christ is going to return and set up the kingdom of God, the millennium here on earth.
Okay, now, we talk about the apocalypse. We're talking about everybody converging, I guess, in the Middle East. I'm assuming that you're referring to Iraq being the center of Armageddon, right? Or that area?
Well, that part of the world is where the final war is going to be fought, yes. But the things that begin when the seals of Revelation, as the last one is opened up here, it's going to happen where the United States, Great Britain, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Western Europe, they're going to be the first to fall. And then there's going to be a power that rises in Europe that's already in the process of working together now through the European Union. And they're going to emerge to take up the vacuum as a result of our falling. And with that, and Asia, especially China and Russia, are going to come together. Those are the two powers that are going to fight each other in a World War III. We're already out of the picture before that World War III begins.
Okay, and please don't think I'm not mocking you here. I mean, obviously, everybody has their belief. I respect your belief. I think I probably am, like I said, extremely skeptical. But at the same time, everybody, whether it's TBN or Inspiration Network, they all have the United States, and there's some cheesy movie that plays on TBN all the time about the apocalypse, and they all have the United States as being this, one of the major players in the apocalypse. But you say, and just reading some of the writer here, you say that the United States only has a couple of years left.
Exactly. It's almost reverse of what a lot of people believe. In the book, the reason you called is because of some of the advertising and so forth for 2008, God's Final Witness, is the book I just wrote. These things are explained in there. I'll put a little plug in. If people go to endtime2008.com, they can get a free book. But what's happening is all these things are in prophecy about us, and I expect people to be skeptical. I don't expect people to believe this. People are believing it, however, but as a whole, people don't, because look at all the different religions out here, just like you said, so many different ideas. How do people know what to believe? People are naturally skeptical today because of all the confusion in religion. And that's what God is getting ready to stop. He's getting ready to stop mass confusion in religion and bring to the earth one government, one world religion, and that's it.
Chatting with Ronald Wineland. Well, let me throw this at you, though. Why is it, what is it that brings the United States to an end? What's going to, in your, I mean, I'm assuming that the you say the Lord has revealed to you what the apocalypse is, the end times, etc. What brings this country down?
Well, there are several factors. They're going to be, in Revelation, it talks about the seals of Revelation. The seventh one, which is the one we're getting ready to approach now, has what is termed seven trumpet plagues. And when those trumpets begin, the first four are the result of things that happened here in the United States and in some of the other countries I just mentioned earlier. There will be nuclear explosions here. We probably already have the suitcase bombs here in different cities already. You know, there are different speculation books have been written about that and so forth. But it's a result of terrorism. And yes, it is the Middle East. It's going to be the focal point of it all because of what's happening there. But there are going to be things happen here, not only through terrorism, also on natural level as far as the worsening weather conditions. What happened down in New Orleans is minor compared to what's coming here in the next year and a half. Other things of that nature. It's going to bring us to a fall. Our currency is going to collapse. The euro is going to replace it. It's going to be totally worthless, and it's already some of those things have already started the process.
That sounds kind of depressing.
Well, it is. It's not good news. There's good news behind it all, but in the beginning here, it's going to be a horrifying thing that takes place on the earth. Quite candidly, just to give you some of the things about prophecy, this country here that's prophesied in the Bible, we're not going to have many that survive this here in this country, let alone the rest of the world, but if God didn't intervene, we would literally annihilate ourselves on this earth.
Okay, chatting with Ronald Wineland, talking about the apocalypse this morning, and you give the United States a couple of years, you say that Katrina will pale in comparison to basically what's coming. Let me ask you this. When the Holy Spirit was revealing all this to you, did he reveal maybe that God was angry at the United States? I mean, is that why, or is this just part of the plan?
It's a part of a prophecy, a lot of prophecies. All the prophecies in the Bible are leading up to a time when Jesus Christ returns as the Messiah, the King. That's what the Jews thought he was going to do when he came into Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. People haven't understood that what he came into Jerusalem to do was fulfill the prophecies and the things that God had to say about a Passover that had to die for us, but he's going to return, and we are at that stage of time. God has a plan of 7,000 years, and the first 6,000, God has left basically hands off from all mankind to let mankind go his own way, choose his own religious beliefs, his own ideas, his own governments, to prove to mankind that man cannot rule himself. God, we need God. We need God's help. We need the mind of God to help us to be able to look at the United Nations. It's an absolute farce. It's a joke. Man cannot rule himself. And the reality is, God's going to let us come right up to the wire of literally getting to a point where there will be all-out nuclear war, but God's going to intervene to stop that so that we don't destroy ourselves. We have the power in this world to destroy mankind 40 times over, and it only takes once. That's where we are. And the United States is pivotal in those prophecies throughout the Bible.
All right, just to give our listeners a little something that they can perhaps check this out, whatever. Are there specific dates in this plan? Are there specifics that have been revealed to you about when these things are going to happen, or you know, when something big is going to happen? Are you willing to give specifics? Do you know any specifics?
Well, 2008 is pretty specific compared to what everybody's saying out here. And over the next year and a half, people are going to see things happen in this country, all around the world as well, that's going to intensify now very rapidly. And the reason this book has been written, the reason the book before that was written 2 years before this, The Prophesied End Time, it goes into talking about these things because people don't know who to listen to. Right now, even as you look out here, because of the things that are happening in Iraq, other parts of the world, people get on the bandwagon, especially in religion, and they start talking about the end time and all the different things and their interpretations. It's absolute mass confusion. People don't know what to believe. These things have been written so that as they start happening in the next year and a half, people will know where to go and what to listen to. Because the reality is, people are going to have to repent, they're going to have to change and start listening to what God told them, has told them over and over again. Whenever a prophet's been sent, they always reject what he has to say. He's not waiting any longer. Everything this time now is being brought to a head. And people need to respond to God if they're going to come through this.
Ronald Weinland on the phone with us. He is a pastor in the Church of God. Let me ask you this. Okay. I said on the show, I'm a believer. I believe in Christ. I'm saved. That's my personal belief. And everybody's free to have whatever belief they want to have in the country. It's fine. We have freedom of religion, etc. But for believers, if they reject your message, is that a sin? Are they rejecting God if they just don't believe that this is the end time? Or is it just something that they're going to see one way or the other?
Well, everybody's going to have to make choices as we come down to the wire here, in this country especially. I'm talking about the United States primarily because this is the focal point of it all. We have mass confusion in religion, as I said, and there is a great reason for that, is because there has been great deception in religion. And not everyone can be right out of here. You can't have 1,000, 2,000, 6,000, 10,000 different ideas and religious beliefs, and everybody believing what they want. Everybody can believe what they want to believe, but that doesn't make them right. They may be sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. They have to come to a point where they will acknowledge they're wrong, and that's the hardest thing for human beings to do. I'll throw something in here just to show you how controversial this book is, because people are going to have to come to understand that they have been rejecting God for a long, long time. They think they're obeying God. Jesus Christ, when he came along, he condemned Judaism totally, everyone, because they were all wrong. They used the name of God. They talked about God. They read the Old Testament scriptures, but they were totally wrong. Today, the world is exactly the same. And that's the message right now. People are going to have to repent of disobedience to God, of not listening to God over 6,000 years now. And they're going to have to make choices as to whether or not they're going to accept what he has to say. He's not playing games anymore. This is it. And
he's been playing games from the beginning if you read the Old Testament.
No, he has had... He's,
Israel thought he was playing games on a few occasions.
Well, that was only one small group of people in the world at that time. It was a country, a nation that he started working with. For prophetic reasons, and part of the primary reason of all of Israel, the history lesson in the Bible and what God gave in the New Testament, is to show that without God's help, without God's Spirit, even with the ways of God, the truth of God, the laws of God, man can't live by those laws. He can't do it. He has to have help. And that's why the Holy Spirit was given in 31 AD when it was poured out, so that man can begin to live God's way of life. But as a whole, the world has still rejected that. You realize that there were two primary churches all the way up until about 325 AD, and then there were still two primary churches. But there have only been two churches on earth until about the 1500s, when Martin Luther came along and other Protestant groups began to emerge coming out of the Catholic Church. But before that, there were only two churches. And all the church groups and so forth you see today, they primarily have their doctrines from the Catholic Church. They don't have it from God's church. They don't have it from the apostles and what they believed and lived. And that's what is going to be hard for people to accept, because they get very upset when you tell them, you have been wrong. The Jews weren't very happy when Jesus Christ said, you teachers of the law, you are wrong. They killed him. And that's how man has always reacted to God's truth. They don't want to hear it his way. They want to hear it their own way. And that causes great difficulties. That causes great problems, like the teaching of going to heaven and hell. Nobody goes to heaven. Nobody goes to hell. Everybody dies and goes back to the grave and waits a resurrection in God's time. But see, that's just one of dozens of ideas and beliefs that have come out of the Catholic Church.
All right, you're a pastor in the Church of God. So let me ask you, did the Church of God have it right? And I've said it Baptist. Does that mean I'm wrong? What's the difference there? I mean, who's got it right?
Well, in Ephesians, God says there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That means one faith means there's one belief. There aren't a lot of different ideas and beliefs out here. That doesn't make people happy. Look at every church group out here you can think of. They all disagree with each other. They all think they're right. I believe I'm right. That's why the book was written. God's going to show who is right, because you can't have this kind of confusion in a world that's getting ready to go into what it's going to go through without answers. And God is getting ready now to give answers to man. It's the end of 6,000 years. It's the end of our own self-rule. It's the end of our own religious ideas and beliefs, where everybody can believe what they want to believe and have their freedoms of belief here in this country. God's not going to allow that. We have about a year and a half more of our own religious freedom in this country, and that's going to come to a screeching halt.
Pastor Ronald Weinland was on the phone with us this morning here on the Morning Rush Hour, and he's talking 941. Chip Kane along with you. Now, let me get into a little bit about some of the end-time signs with you. Are you saying that for instance, 9/11 and Katrina are signs that this thing is getting closer?
9/11 was a fulfillment, a prophetic fulfillment in the sixth seal of Revelation. Indeed it is. It the very thing that took place there, the seven towers that were destroyed, there are two primary towers, but there were seven towers. the collapse of those, it is symbolic of the collapse of this country. It is a foretelling, if you will, of the collapse of this nation. It is prophetic, and the timing is prophetic. That's why the timing now is on a specific timeline. That's when one of the sixth seal of Revelation was opened, when that took place. And we have been given a short space of time now until 2008, and they're going to start increasing now, these kinds of events. Quite candidly, in Scripture, it shows that only 10 million people are going to survive here in the United States when this takes place. The rest of the world, some of it fares far worse. It's not a pretty sight. It's not a pretty picture. But they're going to be able to live into a new world with God's government, with God's truth, with God's way of life. God, Jesus Christ, and 144,000 are going to set up a government on this earth to rule over every nation. And people aren't going to be able to go off and do their own thing any longer. They're going to learn God's way of life. And then after that 1,000 years, it's even more exciting what takes place then. There's going to be a gargantuan resurrection. Everybody who has ever lived and died in 6,000 years is going to be brought back to life, physical flesh and blood again. They're not up in heaven. They're not down in hell being tortured. They're waiting a resurrection, and everyone is going to be resurrected at that time and have opportunity to live in God's world, to learn the truth, learn His way of life, to live it, and choose, finally.
They'll come back to life, and even if they did not accept Christ when they were living their first life, they'll have the opportunity to do it again?
They don't even know Christ. Those are Protestant teachings. Those are teachings of the Catholic Church, of the Protestant churches. God is not trying to save the world right now. If he was, He's very weak. He's doing a lousy job. That is not what God has been doing. He has been preparing over 6,000 years. He's been calling a...
I was just asking you about souls, because basic Protestant belief is that you accept Jesus Christ and you go to heaven when you die, and if you don't, then you missed your chance.
Yeah, exactly. And Jesus Christ said that no one's gone to heaven. You know, even Peter, later on, he said that only Jesus Christ has gone into heaven. What about all the faithful people in times past in the Old Testament? And basically the whole story is that only one human being, one that's ever been a human being, has ever gone to heaven, and he's getting ready to return, and that's Jesus Christ. No, when people die, they don't have an immortal soul. Immortal soul means you have immortality in you. God says no one has immortality. Immortality is a gift. It's a gift that God will give in His time. But it's not something that we have right now. When we die, we have nothing. The only hope we have is in a resurrection.
So you're saying we get a second chance then?
Well, we get our first chance. People as a whole have not been given that first opportunity yet. God has a plan, has had, just leaving hands off for 6,000 years. Man has to learn about pride in his own ways. We have to go through this experience so that we can have something to compare it with, so that we can recognize that this way does not work. That's why He gave us this much time. Every generation that's ever lived, the proof of those generations is that man's ways do not work, and man's religions don't have the answers. Only God does. And He's getting ready finally, now after 6,000 years, to bring those answers to mankind. Those during the last 6,000 years that God has been working with are only 144,000 that He's been saving, if you want to talk about saving, training, preparing for that government that's going to come with Jesus Christ. Those people are going to be resurrected at that time when He returns here. They're going to be resurrected. They're going to come to this earth with Him. They're going to rise in the air, meet Him in the atmosphere, come back down, and establish the government of God on earth. And that's all that God has been working with for 6,000 years. People think that, no, He's been working with millions. No, they've just gone on their own way, having their own religions. You know, when the Catholic Church came along, especially when they organized certain things in 325 A.D., they changed a lot of the things that the apostles and what Jesus Christ and the apostles were teaching. They changed Passover to Easter. They had to have something to give credibility to their belief in Sunday worship, because Easter is a belief in something that goes clear back in paganism, goes way, way back in time, of Sunday worship, a worship of the sun, of worship of Baal that God condemned in the Old Testament. And they've just put the name of God and the church and Jesus Christ in it. And the reality is that's not the way God is. God is, you know, when you talk about Easter, what does it teach? What do rabbits and Easter eggs, what do those things teach about God's plan and God's way of life? God told mankind to keep one day. He said he started in the very beginning, and he told Adam and Eve, and he said he rested on the seventh day. Man hates to hear that he is to obey God and keep the seventh day holy. But that's what God told us. So man has changed it, especially in this country, and the traditional Christianity has changed it to the day of the sun, Sunday.
I don't want to get into arguing what day is the actual Sabbath and about Easter and things like that. I think a lot of these things maybe spawn from Christmas trees, for instance, spawn from pagan ritual, but at the same time, I don't think that they hurt or help your faith. But anyway, let me throw this out at you. All right, you mentioned Katrina, you mentioned 9/11. I can throw at you things that have happened in the past. So, Katrina was on a grand scale. It was huge. It was a gigantic natural disaster. But at the same time, our country has experienced those things before. Hurricane Andrew leveled Florida when it came through. They had a huge hurricane in Brownsville, I think in the early 1900s, that leveled that city. I believe it was in Brownsville, Texas. We had a flu epidemic in the 19-teens. There have been wars and rumors of wars for hundreds of years. What makes this, and I know you've said that the great seals have been opened, et cetera, but don't you think that some folks, I'm not necessarily throwing you in there because I'm not going to judge one way or the other, or I'm not going to judge you, that's not my place to do that, but don't you think that it just kind of sets up a convenient time to do something like this? Can you see why people would be skeptical?
Oh, absolutely, and that's why, some get on a bandwagon at times when they see something like that happen. The reality is this just happens to be where we are. We are at the end. Katrina, no Katrina, what's getting ready to take place, as I said earlier, is going to pale that into being something very minor. We're talking here in about the next year and a half of things happening on a massive scale, far, far greater. I'm not talking about those things that have happened. Now, 9/11 was prophetic. That is something that did take place. That is a part of prophecy. And far greater things that are going to come to pass. It pictures, look at where it was located, the area of Wall Street in that particular part of the world. That's what they would like to strike. That's also Washington, D.C., the desire to destroy there. Those things were in the icon, if you will, of the greatness of a country. When people came to the United States, they, come to New York City, what do you see? You see these great, huge, massive towers. And they're a reflection of what we're like in the world. We have such great pride. We're so great in the world, we believe at least, and we are. We're a great nation. But all that's coming to an end, and that's what this foretells, in essence, everything's going to come down, including that which is in Washington, which pictures government. Everything is coming to an end, and it's going to happen very rapidly. People don't know where to turn, though, when those things begin happening, because I can guarantee you, over the next year and a half, you're going to hear all kinds of ideas from all kinds of religious people out here. They're going to give their interpretations of what they believe it means and so forth, and every one of them is going to be wrong, and there's only going to be one, when it's all said and done, that's right, or that can possibly be right. Not everybody can be right. Only one can be right.
Ronald Wineland, you think you're the guy that's right. Let me just pose this hypothetical question. You wake up, alarm clock goes off, you wake up, January 1, 2009, the State of the Union is still strong, the United States is still kicking, there's still no real, Antichrist figure in Europe, and the world, not necessarily at peace, but, still having a few battles here and there, perhaps the United States out of Iraq, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What are you going to do? What happens then? Were you wrong, or...?
Obviously. That's why everything is written, to show, so that people can look at something and say, look, it's all here. It's all written here. I know what I'm doing. It's not the most comfortable thing in the world, but being a prophet never has been comfortable for any of God's people. If you're given a job to do, you go do it. If you don't do it, example of Jonah, it's not, you're still going to do it. It's still going to get done. So you might as well, buckle in, do it, go out there, accomplish it, and willingly so, desirously so. But, as far as my human nature, as far as human beings concerned, it's not the most comfortable thing on earth to be doing right now. I recognize everything is on the line. I understand that. But I willingly do it because I believe it. I know it's going to come to pass. If it didn't come to pass, to answer your question, obviously I'd be a false prophet.
Ronald Wineland, pastor in the Church of God, our guest this morning. And I'll agree to disagree with you on some of your points, but you do have an interesting point of view, and it's certainly not my place to... to judge one way or the other. I think it's up to our listeners to judge as well. But I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on the show with us this morning.
I appreciate the offer.